Hey everyone, welcome to the Overflow Podcast, where pastor, author, speaker, and consultant Jim Stern explores various benefits and blessings of life lived in the overflow of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit's love. There is so much to discover, to learn, to feel, and to see when God goes first and we live in the overflow.
Welcome back into another edition of Overflow, man. It's great to be again and be here with you guys again as we seek to armor up, as we seek to empower you and enliven you to run the race that God our Father has marked out for you, throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The goal of Overflow is to provide you fuel for the race, man, is to continue to pour gasoline on your life, give you wisdom and insight into how your life operates, what it looks like for you to run the race that God our Father's marked out for you, but to do it in such a way that you can turn around and be used in the highways and byways of life as you encounter people to be able to speak into their lives and help them identify the things that are eroding what God our Father has promised for them. I love in this endeavor, in this spending time with people and discovering what's going on in their lives and talking to folks and just walking in the Lord, man. I love to find short, loaded questions. The shorter and the more loaded the question, the more joy I get out of it. For example, the question, how are you, is such a loaded question. And now we answer it in BS kind of ways, superficial kind of ways. But the question itself can just penetrate very deeply and expose a whole bunch of mess that's really truly going on in our lives. How are you? Is short and loaded. Another short and loaded question: who are you? Man, that is a probative question that has the ability to unlock and expose all sorts of woundedness, set us up for healing, launch us into incredible areas of our lives that we never knew possible just by slowing down and answering these questions in very sober ways. How are you? Who are you? We are looking at this question of who are you through the lens of a guy named King Jotham. 2 Chronicles 27 is the story. The scripture says, 2 Chronicles 27, that he ordered his life according to the Lord, and consequently, he was called mighty. Jotham was called mighty because he ordered his life according to the Lord. What does that mean in a tactical way? The Bible says that he ordered his being, his building, and his fighting. His being, his building, and his fighting. Jotham ordered those things according to the Lord. And so now we're unpacking, what does it mean that Jotham ordered his being according to the Lord? And we discovered last week in our last overflow that Jotham, in order for him to embrace who it is that the Lord called him to be, he looked to the Lord and allowed the Lord to define his be. That's mission critical. I've got to decide who it is that's going to define my life, decide who it is that's going to define my be. Jotham says the Lord is the one who's going to define my be. And the last overflow, we saw that for Jotham to take this step into the fullness of identifying who he was, he had to deal with his generational issues. His dad, King Uzziah, had a particular issue in his life that if Jotham didn't identify that issue and deal with it head on, it would continue to plague him and affect his ability to step into the fullness of who the Lord defined him to be. And so Jotham's life really sets us up for a lot of really good meat in experiencing our own freedom and identifying the issues that are entangling in us and snaring us from experiencing fullness of life and launching into the race that God our Father has led us to run. Now, there's an interesting contrast when we, or comparison, some contrast, when we look at the importance of being in the life of Jotham and compare it to the life of Jesus. How does Jesus, is identifying, is locking in to be equally as important in the life of Jesus as it is in the life of Jotham? And of course it is. Well, what does that look like? How do we see that play out in the life of Jesus? And one of the passages that is really paramount that we'll see today that's going to expose some big problems in our lives is the baptism of Jesus, the passages that describe the baptism of Jesus. And one of those passages that describes the baptism of Jesus is found in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, in Luke's version of Jesus' baptism, reads this way: "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven, saying, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" You got to see how much of Jesus's life, how much of his core, how much of his identity was affected by his Father and by the Holy Spirit. All that we marvel at in the person and work of Jesus didn't happen just because he was Jesus. Jesus is resolute, he's calm, he's determined, he's empowered, he's joyful, he's compassionate, he's victorious because of his relationship with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. With the Father and with the Holy Spirit. What I love in this story of Jesus' baptism is the obvious roles that the Father and the Holy Spirit play in Jesus' life. You got to see their presence in Jesus' life were major difference makers in Jesus' identity, Jesus' stability, Jesus' ability to be able to answer the question, who am I? Many, many, many times I have read books and heard sermons that exhort me to embrace my identity in Jesus, but say nothing about my identity in the Father or in the Holy Spirit. And this is where I say it's absolutely possible to have too much Jesus in our faith. Ooh, man, this is where I say Jesus can be insufficient. We say, how is that possible? We say it in this way: you can have too much Jesus when your faith is just about Jesus or mostly about Jesus to the neglect of the Father and the Holy Spirit. Oh boy, who you are and your ability to experience fullness like Jesus comes from your relationship with Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's all three: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As an aside, watch this. Something for you to pay attention to. If you want to see how heavily Jesus your church is, pay attention to the worship songs this week. Pay attention to the worship songs. How many of the worship songs are only about Jesus? How much of the songs celebrate, glorify, and even mention the Father or the Holy Spirit? Man, I haven't participated in a whole bunch of different worship services lately, and it's not unusual where every song in the worship service is all and only about Jesus. We're not praising our Father. We're not thanking our Father. We're not glorifying our Father. We're not praising the Holy Spirit. We're not glorifying the Holy Spirit. We're not thanking the Holy Spirit. We're not mentioning the Holy Spirit. In all of our songs, they're all about Jesus, 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 Jesus. Or they're mostly about Jesus. They're 80% about Jesus. The Father gets 10 and the Holy Spirit might get 10. And yet we see from Jesus this robustness of Trinitarianism. His identity was Father and Spirit filled. So this is the danger that we incur when we limit our faith to just Jesus or mostly to Jesus. Man, there is incredible benefit that you are supposed to be experiencing, incredible influence that you are supposed to encounter from the reality of intimacy with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Tremendous, tremendous. Don't take it from me. Don't take it from me. Even in his teaching, Jesus regularly described our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the one who we spent all of this time on, regularly pointed to the impact that his Father and the Holy Spirit had on his life. Jesus did it himself. Listen to what Jesus says about the Father, John chapter 5, verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. "For the Father loves the Son." Ooh, that's healthy relationship. The Father loves the Son. Loves him so much, he shows him all things that he himself is doing. So it's like a father takes his child into the garage and shows the kid his new woodworking project. Jesus and a father have a healthy, defining relationship. And it's so good and it's so healthy that Jesus prays in John 17, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son that the Son may glorify you." Jesus' life, his core, his being was so impacted by his relationship with his Father that all he wanted was for his Father to be seen. I want you to know, what does that mean that I want my Father glorified? That means that Jesus believes in the love of his Father, the grace of his Father, the juice of his Father, the goodness of his Father, that he's going everywhere and saying, hey, my dad's better than your dad. Jesus saying, man, the impact, the influence, and the role that God, my Father wants to have in your life is absolutely profound. And Jesus is gets into this so much that he, in his teaching, is encouraging his disciples to lean in to this relationship, this new relationship that they can enter into with God as their Father. Listen to what Jesus says in teaching his disciples in Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? And Jesus says, he's my dad. I'm his son. It's not just me, Jesus. It's me, Jesus, son of my Father. And my Father's role in my life is insanely important. Matthew 7:11, if you were even have to give to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give to those who ask? And again, in the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11:2, Jesus, who does he teach us to pray to? He says, hey, when you pray, talk to your dad. Talk to your dad. Come to him as your Father. If God is our Father, we've been made his children. We've been made his children, embracing our identities as sons and daughters of our Father, not of some God in the abstract or in some God of some kind of God blob or some God in some kind of mysterious vagary, but embracing our identities as sons and daughters of our Father and experiencing his present day blessings is essential to enjoying a solid identity. It's essential to enjoying a solid identity. Hey, listen, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Jesus is amazing. Jesus blew away my life at 26 years old when I gave my life to Jesus. I thoroughly enjoy and am energized by my relationship with Jesus, and I have been for 26, 27 years. But according to Jesus himself, I am supposed to receive blessing from my relationship with my Father that I cannot get from Jesus. This is not either Jesus or my Father. It is Jesus and my Father. But wait, there's more. There's more. Remember in the baptism of Jesus, what do we see? Jesus goes into the water. The Son goes into the water. The Holy Spirit comes and descends upon him like a dove. The Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove. And this voice comes out of heaven from my Father. This is my beloved Son with whom I am, or in whom I am well pleased. There is the Holy Spirit. Jesus' core is energized by the Holy Spirit. We see Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 3. Then we read this in Luke 4:1. Luke 4:1 says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. You got to see. The same Bible that you believe in, the same Jesus that you believe in, says that Jesus was full, operated in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So that when you conceive of Jesus walking in his ministry, you must see him full of the Holy Spirit. When we see him heal, you must see that as an overflow of the Holy Spirit. When you see him deliver one from demonic issues, you must see his power as oozing out of him from the Holy Spirit. Jesus loved the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loved Jesus. So you can imagine Jesus' eagerness. Because it's possible, I wonder if Jesus was giddy when he was talking to the disciples about the coming of the Holy Spirit into their lives. I wonder if he was giddy because he enjoyed such a dynamic, fruit-bearing, energizing, love-filled, empowering relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he knew what the disciples were about to encounter. He knew what they were about to get. I wonder if Jesus was giddy, knowing that his crucifixion and his resurrection were going to pave the way for his disciples to experience the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that going through the crucifixion is brutal. It's brutal. I mean, oh my gosh, the physical torture and terror and wanting to pass out and enduring and the spitting and all that stuff. I'm not minimizing that by any stretch. But when Jesus contemplated not just that the death, burial, and resurrection was going to fulfill the plan of God his Father in his life, not that it was just going to offer forgiveness of sins for his people, but that because of his death, burial, and resurrection, the disciples were going to have the opportunity to experience the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and encounter the Spirit of God in such a way that Jesus had. I think he was pretty fired up. So in John 14:25, when he's talking to his disciples, he says, "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in my name, he's going to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." There's going to be this animation that's going to happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's going to be this activity that you're going to receive, not from me. You got to see this, my word. You got to see what Jesus is saying. These are these things that you're going to experience because of your relationship that are not from me, but they are from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do these things in you. Jesus's core, who he was secured, not just because he was God the Son, but also because he was the Son of the Father and he was a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He received different benefits from his relationships with each. Each loved him. The Father loved Jesus. The Holy Spirit loved Jesus. Jesus loved the Father. Jesus loved the Holy Spirit. Listen, please. Jesus never told us that he alone was sufficient to quiet our interior wars. He never did. He demonstrated and he taught and he teaches the roles and the impact and the influence of the Father and the Spirit. So if you are Christian, if you have said yes to Jesus and received forgiveness of your sins, you have been made a son or daughter of our Heavenly Father. You've been made a brother or sister of King Jesus, and you are a temple and a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. You are alive in the middle of full Trinitarian love. Rest, rest in their love. Rest in your Father. Rest in Jesus. Rest in the Holy Spirit. Be present. Be present. As you read Scripture, see the work of each come to life in the stories and teachings. Observe how each actively works in you throughout the day. And smile. And smile. Your core is secure in the overflow of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And no matter what our backgrounds have been, how injurious and painful and horrific, when we marshal the full resources of the Trinity against our woundedness, when we relax back in and allow the Father to heal us in the name of Jesus, in intimacy with Jesus, in the flow of the Holy Spirit of the living God, in their timing and in their cadence and their prioritization of what they're doing in our lives, look at what you're bringing to bear. Yes, what your mom and dad did or what the different persons are, it's horrific. It's horrific. But our quote-unquote antidote is not some superficial band-aid. Our antidote is relaxing back into the quiet waters of the Trinity, the Trinitarian God of all of creation, and receiving the love of God as your Father, receiving the love of Jesus as your King and your brother, receiving the love of the Spirit of the living God, who is the source of living water that flows from your innermost being. This is life. This is life in the overflow. As we have seen the importance of locking in our B from Jotham, we also see the incredible significance of locking in our B in the life of Jesus. I pray that this has been helpful to you. I pray that the quiet, that the interior war, the noise on the inside of your soul will be quieted by these truths of the Lord Jesus Christ and his direction for our lives, and that you can live this day, whenever it is that you are consuming this information, this teaching, that you will live this day at peace, having been brought to peace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in such a way that you can go and minister to other people, finding them in the storms of their own lives and offering them the fullness of the Father, the fullness of the Son, and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Man, it would certainly help us if you would pass this out on your social media channels. Even friends, call them, text them. Hey, you got to listen to this. This is really good stuff. Hopefully helpful to you, helpful to them. Hit the subscribe button. And we would certainly appreciate if the Holy Spirit would lead you to support us financially to continue to generate this kind of content that operates on the front lines of the kingdom war and really helps people get set free so they can run the race that God our Father has marked out for them. God bless you. We'll see you again next time when we are back together in the overflow.
Thank you for joining us in the overflow. To find a blog connected to today's session where you can engage with Jim and others, go to trexo.org/blog. This podcast is made available through the gracious giving of people just like you. If you would like to help us bring more people into the healing waters of our Father's love, you can do so at trexo.org/donate. We will be back next week for another edition of Overflow.